The Romanian Rhapsody, number one, by George Enescu, played there by the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Andre Previn. Good-natured music this hour, because we need it, with maybe not the most well-known names in classical music, not exactly a bunch of Beethovens, but you'll enjoy it. And this is a Lithuanian composer who wrote some very good-natured stuff, and his name is Mikalojus Čiurlionis. I've been practicing saying that for 30 years, by the way, so I think I got it right. Humoresque by the Lithuanian composer Mikalojus Čiurlionis, played there by Joanna Donita.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, streaming quality programming anytime, anywhere with the PBS app. Featuring PBS favorites like Masterpiece, Week in Review, Antiques Roadshow, and much more on demand. And working with Dreams, Andrew Sherwood, PhD, Jungian analyst. assisting those undertaking the path of individuation through dream interpretation and the analytical psychology of Carl Jung. More at workingwithdreams.com.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 69 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. It's 69 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
It's around 1939, the Russian composer Dmitry Kabalevsky wrote music for a children's play called The Inventor and the Comedians. And it was about a group of traveling buffoons. Feel free to insert your own joke there about traveling buffoons. Well, it became some of his best-known music, full stop. And here is the suite, The Comedians by Dmitry Kabalevsky. suite The Comedians by Dmitri Kabalevsky, played there by the Philharmonia Orchestra, conducted by Sir Charles Groves.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri since 1982 with a variety of environmental services, from indoor air quality and mold services to energy audits and solar energy installation. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com. And the Lead Center and KU's Office of Sovereign Partnerships and Indigenous Initiatives, presenting the annual KU Powwow and Indigenous Cultures Festival, Saturday, April 11th, 10:30 a.m. Details at powwow.ku.edu.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 69 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. It's 69 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Is the idea of the double bass as a solo instrument a humorous one? I imagine it would be to some people, but probably not the double bassist. And certainly not to Edgar Meyer, who is the virtuoso of his instrument. And here he is with Hugh Wolf and the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra in this double bass concerto by Giovanni Bottesini. Double Bass Concerto by Giovanni Battistini with Edgar Meyer as soloist there. It's double bass and Hugh Wolfe conducting the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 66 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. It's 66 and fair. That's KPR weather.
You think Shakespeare thought about the example he might be setting for teenagers in love when he wrote Romeo and Juliet? Was there any kind of intervention from concerned parents of the 16th century saying, shame on you for encouraging young people to do those things? Of course not. But see, here I am. I'm worried about even saying what's right there in the play. I think that's more of a statement about how much more teens are troubled today than they were 400 years ago. That they might make decisions that can't be undone. Let's see, what was my point? I'm not really sure, except that Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet music is coming up. It's on the way.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Airstrikes continue to batter Iran, and Iranian missiles targeted Israel and U.S. allies across the Middle East today. The attacks came after President Trump said the U.S. was in talks with Iran to end the war. Iran denies any negotiations are taking place. Meanwhile, thousands more U.S. Marines are on their way to the Gulf. Republican Senate leaders have floated a proposal to end the government shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security ahead of a break that begins next week, but Democrats and President Trump appear uninterested in the deal. Meanwhile, travelers experience long wait times as TSA agents are required to work without pay during the shutdown, and ICE agents have been deployed to some airports. Keith Jeffries is the former federal security director for TSA at Los Angeles International Airport.
The biggest challenge is the security risk that it brings to the aviation sector. The crowds, the angst, the stress, and the shortage of personnel to get them through from point A to point B safely.
Some 11% of TSA agents didn't show up to work yesterday, and at least 458 have quit altogether. The Missouri Supreme Court has upheld a new congressional map aimed at adding another Republican to Congress, but as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, the decision isn't the end of the battle over Missouri's new congressional lines.
The state's high court ruled 4-3 that even though there's no explicit authorization for mid-decade redistricting, there's no explicit prohibition either. GOP Attorney General Catherine Hanaway says that's a clear win for Republican backers of the redistricting plan.
The map can be redrawn mid-decade.
Attorney Chuck Hatfield represented redistricting opponents in court. He noted the new map could be subject to a referendum this year and may never go into effect.
This was a battle in a bigger war. It was a major battle.
Missouri was one of several GOP-led states that redrew their congressional maps to favor Republicans at the behest of President Trump. States like California responded by redrawing their lines to help Democrats. For NPR News, I'm Jason Rosenbaum in St. Louis.
OpenAI has announced it is discontinuing a tool for making AI video. As NPR's Jeff Brumfield reports, it was widely used to generate fake videos of real events.
OpenAI says it's discontinuing its Sora tool, which could generate 10-second videos of virtually anything imaginable, like this fake video showing Venezuelans celebrating in the streets after the U.S. capture of Nicolas Maduro. Those celebrations never happened, neither did scores of fake videos of ICE agents, attacks on Israel and Iran, or countless other so-called news events generated by Sora. Experts say even if the app is gone, AI video is here to stay, and it's making it harder than ever to tell what's real and what is fake. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
This is NPR News. Democrat Emily Gregory has won a special election for a Florida State House seat, flipping a district that is home to President Trump's estate, Mar-a-Lago, according to the AP. Trump endorsed the Republican, John Maples. The Republican who previously held the seat and resigned to become county clerk won it by 19 percentage points in 2024. Democrats are celebrating the victory as the latest sign voters are turning against Trump and the GOP. Valero has shut down a refinery in Port Arthur, Texas, after an explosion and fire. As NPR's Julia Simon reports from Houston, the refinery sends oil products to many parts of the world.
The Valero refinery handles more than 350,000 barrels a day. It supplies diesel locally to the Gulf Coast, as well as to the Northeast and Midwest via pipeline. The refinery's diesel and gasoline sometimes gets shipped to Europe and Latin America.
It is an important asset when it comes to balancing the market at a time where supply is being impacted by the Strait of Hormuz shutdown.
That's Debnil Chowdhury, head of fuels and refining for S&P Global for North America, Latin America, and Europe. An investigation into the cause of the fire is ongoing. It's unclear how long the refinery will be offline. Julia Simon, NPR News, Houston.
Firefighters in Kentucky rescued a dog that became trapped in a cave 40 feet underground. The Jessamine County Fire Department says rescuers used a rope system to lower into the cave. They quickly made contact with the dog, a beagle named Foxy. Firefighter and pup were hoisted out with no injuries. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org.
T-shirt. Hello there, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Steve Seal. And we're going to enjoy some Shakespeare this hour. No, I'm not going to be reading Shakespeare to you, but we're going to be listening to two specifically, different Russian composers in their very well-known and celebrated musical adaptations of Romeo and Juliet. One short form, one long form. First from Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, his King John Overture.
Thank you.
So we have some of the lesser-known Shakespeare and then some of the better-known Shakespeare this hour. That one would be an overture by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, written for Shakespeare's play King John. Not exactly up there with Macbeth and Romeo and Juliet, but nevertheless, Shakespeare as adapted by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco and played by the West Australian Symphony Orchestra led by Andrew Penny.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise. And the University of Kansas, creating the future one discovery at a time. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 66 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. It's 66 and fair. That's KPR weather.
So now to the realm of Shakespeare that's much better known. And there's a couple of Russians who have made some very beloved music as settings of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. First from Prokofiev, whose ballet setting of Romeo and Juliet contains some of his more well-known music. Now, this is a viola and piano reduction of some of it, though, and it's a Helen Callis viola and Philip Bush piano with the young Juliet. Here's a little viola and piano miniature reduction of some of the ballet music from Romeo and Juliet by Prokofiev, Helen Callis, and Philip Bush there. Tchaikovsky no doubt felt a sympathy with the story of Romeo and Juliet because here was a gentleman whose motif in his life practically was forbidden love, love thwarted and denied. And so a story of clandestine love was also likely very appealing to him. Never at a loss for gorgeously ripe melodies, Tchaikovsky, but he certainly saved some of his better ones for this work, the Romeo and Juliet Fantasy Overture. the Romeo and Juliet Fantasy Overture by Tchaikovsky with Leonard Bernstein conducting the New York Philharmonic.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Do you have an IRA? Are you 70 and a half years or older? Would you like to support KPR? If the answer to all these questions is yes, then consider a charitable distribution to KPR. To learn more, visit that website, kansaspublicradio.org, under the Support tab.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 59 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. It's 59 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
This is music by the Croatian composer Dora Pijacevic, her fantasy concertos. Her name was Dora Pjecevic, and she was a pioneer in Croatian classical music in the late 19th, early 20th century. Her fantasy concertante played by Volker Banfield piano with Rhineland Pfalz Philharmonic led by Ari Reiselainen.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 59 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. It's 59 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump says that Iran, quote, gave us a present that is worth a tremendous amount of money. Trump said he wouldn't reveal the present, but said it is related to the flow of oil and gas through the Strait of Hormuz. Trump said, quote, it showed that we're dealing with the right people. He also claimed for the second day in a row that Iran had agreed to stop pursuing nuclear weapons.
What I said yesterday was exactly correct. We're in negotiations right now. They're doing it along with Marco, JD. We have a number of people doing it. And the other side, I can tell you, they'd like to make a deal. And who wouldn't if you were there?
Iran has denied negotiating with the U.S. A federal judge has cast doubt on the government's ban of the AI company Anthropic. This in a hearing about the Pentagon's designation of the company as a supply chain risk, NPR's John Ruich reports.
Judge Rita F. Lin of the U.S. District Court for Northern California says the government's ban on Anthropic looks like punishment and an attempt to cripple the company. Anthropic sued the Pentagon after it labeled the company a supply chain risk amid a contract disagreement over how the company AI model Claude can be used. Anthropic does not want its AI used in autonomous weapons or for mass surveillance of U.S. citizens. The Pentagon argues it's not up to companies to decide how the military uses their products. President Trump has also ordered all government agencies to stop using Claude. Anthropic asked for a preliminary injunction against the government action. Judge Lin heard arguments from both sides in court in San Francisco and said she expects to make a ruling in the next few days. John Ruich, NPR News.
California's attorney general is asking a judge to halt a Republican sheriff's election fraud investigation. He alleges the sheriff seized hundreds of thousands of ballots without evidence. From member station KVCR, Madison Aument reports.
Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco, who's running for governor of California, seized 650,000 ballots casted in last year's election to redraw California's congressional map. Bianco says he did so because a citizens group alleged a discrepancy in the vote tally. Riverside County's registrar says the allegation is based on incomplete data. Attorney General Rob Bonta has asked a judge to stop Bianco's probe because Bianco has not shown that any crime was committed. When asked for a response, Bianco sent an email questioning why Bonta would obstruct an investigation. For NPR News, I'm Madison Aument.
Minnesota officials have filed a federal lawsuit accusing the Trump administration of withholding evidence related to three shootings by federal officers. The lawsuit claims that the federal government reneged on its promise to cooperate with state investigations. The administration sent thousands of officers to the Minneapolis and St. Paul area for the immigration crackdown as part of President Trump's nationwide deportation campaign. U.S. stock indexes closed down today as uncertainty continues about how long the war with Iran will last. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. The Trump administration is banning imports of foreign-made internet routers, citing supply chain vulnerability and cybersecurity risks. The ban targets consumer-grade routers, the boxes that connect home computers, phones, and smart devices to the internet. One of Tennessee's oldest towns is set to become home to a federally contracted depleted uranium refinery, a material the Trump administration says it needs to update the nuclear weapons stockpile, WUOT's Pierce Gentry reports.
After months of debate over potential environmental and health risks, BWXT received just enough votes from the county government this week to overcome a zoning hurdle and move forward with its project. Hundreds of locals packed the county courthouse in protest, including musician Gabriel Wilson, who says outside pressure shaped the vote.
There's a lot of pressure on our commission from state government, from federal government. Our country right now is in a semi-hot war in the Middle East, and I think that all of that plays into the atmosphere around a decision like this that can't be ignored.
The project now heads to federal regulators for review. Under its $1.6 billion federal contract, BWXT must begin production by the end of 2028. For NPR News, I'm Pierce Gentry in Jonesboro, Tennessee.
Major League Baseball season starts tomorrow, and so begins the era of challenging balls and strikes through so-called robot umpires. Human umpires will still make each call, but the decisions can be appealed to the computer. Teams only get two challenges, and only pitchers, catchers, and batters can make them. The system has been tested in the minor leagues since 2019. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org. And Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts.
Thank you. Saxophonist Stanley Turrentine opening up tonight's Jazz in the Night with his version of the music of Jerome Curran, The Way You Look Tonight. I'm Bob McWilliams, and thanks for joining me tonight here on KPR. I'm not certain how great I'm looking, but I'm hoping to sound pretty good and bring you a lot of great jazz. That was from a 1961 session called ZT's Blues. Stanley Turrentine with Grant Green on guitar, Tommy Flanagan at the piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and drummer Art Taylor. We'll hear a Blue Note classic recording from 1964 by Wayne Shorter in a bit. And also out of the vinyl vault, singer Dee Dee Bridgewater, a 1974 recording that's recently had an LP reissue. That and more headed your way. But right now, the drummer Ulysses Owens Jr. and his band Generation Y and their second album, which is called Around the World with You. And this is a terrific outing with some great young musicians like Elena Terracubo on alto sax, Anthony Hervey on trumpet, Tyler Bullock on bass, and Nanami Haruta on trombone. The veteran of the bunch, along with drummer Ulysses Owens, is bassist Yasushi Nakamura. And they're doing a tune written by the late great pianist James Williams, the great pianist James Williams. And this is the tune that Mulgrew Miller would close his sets with when Ulysses played drums with Mulgrew. Here is the tune Road Life on Kansas Public Radio. drummer Ulysses Owens Jr. I remember when he hit the scene, and that's been enough to have him be a generation ahead of young musicians these days. And that's what he's got in his band Generation Y, the album Around the World With You, the tune by the late James Williams called Road Life. Trumpeter Anthony Hervey, alto saxophonist Arena Terracubo, Adder Bullock, bassist Yoshishi Nakamura, and on that track, trombonist Nanami Haruta with drummer Ulysses Owens Jr. D.D. Bridgewater from the Vinyl Vault in a bit. New music out of Baltimore from the Baltimore Jazz Collective coming our way as well. Support for Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio comes from the Commons at KU presenting the Kenneth Spencer Lecture with Patricia Ononiwu Kaishin, author of Forest Euphoria, The Abounding Queerness of Nature, 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 7th at Liberty Hall. Tickets at thecommons.ku.edu. One of the great recordings Wayne Shorter made for Blue Note Records, 1964, the album Juju. On this one, just Wayne and a rhythm section, but what a rhythm section. McCoy Tyner, piano, Reggie Workman bass, Elvin Jones on drums, and we're going to hear Wayne's very catchy composition, Yes or No, here on KPR. Thank you. tenor saxophonist Wayne Shorter's composition, Yes or No? The 1964 album for Blue Note Records, Juju, with McCoy Tyner piano, Reggie Workman bass, Elvin Jones drums. New music from the Baltimore Jazz Collective on the way a bit later. Also solo piano from the quite eclectic player, Jackie Byard. And up next from the Vinyl Vault, the debut album of D.D. Bridgewater, originally in 1974, just released in Japan and only available through that Japanese release for many years. And I understand that it came out finally on a vinyl reissue in 2020. I was unaware of that and just saw this vinyl reissue in a downtown record store in Lawrence, Kansas, that you could probably guess what that one is. And it's a great album. Afro Blue out of the Vinyl Vault, out of Bob's Vinyl Vault, the Bridgewater Jazz Family, D.D., with brothers trumpeter Cecil and saxophonist Ron, Sir Roland Hanna piano, George Mraz bass, drummer Motohiko Hino, and it's D.D. Bridgewater singing People Make the World Go Round.
Trash man didn't get my trash today. Oh, why? Because they want more pay. Buses and taxis want a raise in fare, so they can help pollute the air. But that's what makes the world go round. Ups and downs, a carousel, changing people's heads around, go underground, young men, people make the world go round. Street losing now on every shift. They're blaming it on longer hair. Big men smoking in their easy chairs, on fat cigars without a care. Go round and round.
From the vinyl vault, Dee Dee Bridgewater, and the album Afro Blue, the Japanese recording 1974 reissued in more recent times on LP in the U.S., and that great Tom Bell, Linda Creed song out of the Philly soul movement, People Make the World Go Round, Dee Dee Bridgewater on KPR with the Baltimore Jazz Collective. New music from them right now here on KPR. Baltimore Jazz Collective, and that piece by their pianist Alex Brown called Red Line, the new album. It's called Baltimore Jazz Collective here on KPR, with bass clarinet from Todd Marcus, trumpet by Sean Jones, some bass and drums from Chris Funn and Quincy Phillips, even a bit of tap dance from Renee Ali. With pianist Jackie Byard next on KPR. We're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 90.3 Chanute, online at kansaspublicradio.org. You know, KPR listeners are sharp folks. They're always looking for ways to stretch their dollars. Here's a great way to make your KPR contribution go farther. It's our spring membership drive kickoff Friday morning, and your pledge match dollar for dollar during the 90 minutes of the Power Breakfast. Double the value of your KPR pledge. That's Friday morning, 7 to 8:30, here on KPR.
Thank you.
Jackie Byard, the music of Richard Rodgers, Hello Young Lovers, recorded at the Maybeck Recital Hall in Berkeley, California. That was inside, still is in fact inside a private residency in Berkeley. And the Concord record label was able to record 42 solo piano recitals at Maybeck's from 1990 to 1996. This one, volume 17, and they're all absolutely terrific. The house would be sold, and the new owner was not really excited about continuing that series, but I understand that there are now at least some concerts held in that beautiful space. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics. Dole fellow Chandram Gashi welcomes Poland's ambassador to the United States, Bogdan Kalich, March 31st, 7 p.m. at doleinstitute.org. Here's vibraphone music from former trumpeter, now vibes player Vance Thompson, in one called Sleight of Hand. Lance Thompson, who had a long-established career as a jazz trumpeter and for physical reasons had to stop playing trumpet, so he took up the vibes and his new album with those, called Lost and Found. Steve Kovalchuk playing guitar, Tabor Gabel piano, Tommy Souter, Marcus Finn bass and drums, and a Vance Thompson tune called Sleight of Hand. We're going to debut a new one from the SoCo Quintet, and they're out of Southern California. And all five of the musicians in this band studied with a rather legendary jazz educator there, Don Ferrara, back in the late 50s. It's Jason Crow bass, Tig Solberg drums, Tate Solberg sax, Daniel Moran piano, and Gil Cohen trumpet. And Gil Cohen wrote this piece. He calls it Sweet Sebastian. Well, he kind of wrote it. What he did was take Sweet Georgia Brown, and he took that and he put it together with the Bach piano piece and calls it Sweet Sebastian.
Thank you.
piano piece interwoven with Sweet Georgia Brown. The result, this tune called Sweet Sebastian from the SoCo Quintet and their new album called A Beer and a Mop here on KPR. We're here and we are, Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. More jazz after the news. Support for news on KPR comes from Mammoth presenting Cake June 27th at Topeka Performing Arts Center. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com. That's Cake at Topeka Performing Arts Center, June the 27th. And Blue Collar Press. Blue Collar Press has been helping businesses, musicians, and artists, big and small, turn ideas into promotional merchandise for 20 years. For more information, visit BlueCollarPress.com. Right after the news, it's the Ben Markley, Clint Ashlock Quintet, a really terrific album they did a little more than a decade back. We've got the new one from Kenny Barron with special guest singer Cecile McLaurin-Salvant. And we'll also dive into the first of four albums that Miles Davis and Gil Evans collaborated with for Columbia. We'll hear from the album Miles Ahead. That and more in this next hour of Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. President Trump says Iran has just given the U.S. a big present. Trump says it's related to the Strait of Hormuz, as NPR's Franco Ordonez reports.
Trump teased that this latest development is worth a tremendous amount of money.
I'm not going to tell you what that present is, but it was a very significant prize. And they gave it to us, and they said they were going to give it, so that meant one thing to me would deal with the right people.
Trump said it wasn't nuclear-related, but oil and gas-related, and tied to the Strait of Hormuz. But he would not get into specifics. Trump has said the U.S. is in productive negotiations with Iran to end the war. Iran has denied conducting negotiations with the U.S. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, the White House.
The military is preparing to call up members of the 82nd Airborne Division. A U.S. official has confirmed to NPR that the Pentagon has ordered some 2,000 soldiers from the 82nd to deploy to the Middle East, two Marine Expeditionary Units already sailing toward the Persian Gulf. National Transportation Safety Board says the vehicle involved in a collision with a plane landing at LaGuardia Airport did not have equipment to show its location. Two pilots killed in the crash, dozens injured, Steve Kestenbaum reports.
Investigators zeroed in on what the people in LaGuardia's control tower could see on their screens before the crash.
ASDX is a runway safety system which allows air traffic controllers to track surface movement of aircraft and vehicles.
But NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy said the controllers couldn't see information about the fire truck's exact location.
So in this case, that vehicle did not have a transponder.
It's not clear whether different controllers were talking to the pilot and the driver of the fire truck Sunday night.
There were two people in the cab, two people in the tower cab.
Investigators are set to interview the controllers soon. For NPR News, I'm Steve Kestenbaum in New York.
A jury in New Mexico has found that social media giant Meta misled consumers. From member station KUNM in Albuquerque, Taylor Velasquez has more.
The owner of Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp is now on the hook for $375 million in civil penalties for violating New Mexico's consumer protection laws. New Mexico's Attorney General Raul Torres calls the verdict a historic win, making the state the first to hold a tech company liable for harming young people. Torres says Meta knew its platforms posed risk to children, ignored internal warnings, and misled the public. Meta says it will appeal. Either way, the state's case is not over. It's also asking the company to be required to change its business practices, for example, by implementing stronger age verification and removing predators from its platform. For NPR News, I'm Taylor Velasquez in Albuquerque.
And you're listening to NPR News. Democrats are celebrating a special election victory in Florida. Voters in a legislative district that's home to President Trump's Mar-a-Lago have chosen Emily Gregory to fill a state House seat. The president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee says the seat is the 29th that Democrats have flipped since Trump returned to the White House. The Missouri Supreme Court has upheld the state's congressional map aimed at adding another Republican to Congress in the November midterm election. The 4-3 decision is a legal victory for President Trump in the nationwide redistricting battle, but it may not be the final word. Opponents have submitted more than 300,000 petition signatures in an attempt to put the new map to a statewide vote. There are more older drivers on the road in the U.S. than ever before. NPR's Joel Rose reports that many families face hard choices about when it's time for aging loved ones to stop driving.
States have policies that are supposed to stop risky drivers from renewing their licenses. But in practice, it often falls to adult children to decide when it's time to take the car keys away from an aging parent. Jacqueline Hamilton struggled to convince her 94-year-old father to stop driving and finally took matters into her own hands.
The hard part was if I didn't take the keys, then anything that would happen after that point would be my fault.
Americans are keeping their driver's licenses for longer than ever before, in some cases too long, according to safety advocates. But crash rates for older drivers have been falling, and many are reluctant to give up driving because they're afraid of losing their mobility. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, supporting books, radio, podcasts, film, television, theater, and more to bridge science and the humanities. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
pianist Ben Markley, and trumpeter Clint Aishlock together on an album called The Return, the Ben Markley Clint Aishlock Quintet. And opening this hour, the tune from that called Cobblestones, Josh Quinlan playing sax, Matt Smiley and Ed Brazil bass and drums. I'm Bob McWilliams, and just a bit, Miles Davis and Gil Evans together in 1957 from the album Miles Ahead. And from the vinyl vault back in the 1980s, alto saxophonist Charles McPherson for you here on Kansas Public Radio. As soon as I said the 1980s, I said, that's not right. 1977, not in the 80s. We'll hear Charles McPherson a bit later, right now, from the Kenny Barron songbook, Kenny's Trio, together with Kurt Elling for In the Slow Lane on KPR.
Why the look when they glance as they pass me by? In a rush they're gone, maybe wondering why I go at a pace that seems too slow. I go at a pace I know. A pace I know. I can see if I take my time, and I know if I rush, I end up behind. Hurrying through life, I must refuse. I go at a pace I choose. I'm okay in the slow. I can see if I take my time, and I know if I rush, I end up behind. Hurrying through life, I must refuse. I go at a pace I choose. I'm okay in the slow.
pianist Kenny Barron's composition, In the Slow Lane, lyrics added by Janice Jarrett and sung by special guest Kurt Elling from the new album Kenny Barron's Songbook, with Kyoshi Kitagawa on bass and Jonathan Blake as the drummer. Everybody can leave a gift to KPR through their will. What an inspired way to support an organization that enriches your life and that of others in your community. Find out more at legacy.kansaspublicradio.org. Sunday afternoon at 3:30, the Folly Jazz Series presenting Unlimited Miles, Miles Davis at 100, a band led by pianist and arranger John Beasley, exploring all the many aspects of Miles' career. And we'll tell you more about that after we hear from the first of four albums Miles Davis did with Gil Evans for Columbia Records. From the album Miles Ahead, here's New Roomba on KPR.